How many of you, when you think back on your junior high and senior high years, feel a little bit of cringe? Like you just look back just a little bit and you're like, oh man, that was a rough time, right? Just trying to think through that. You're thinking back through the braces and the hormones and the poor clothing choices and all of those kinds of things. And you're just like, oh golly, why was that such a weird, weird season? Not me. I rocked junior high so bad. I don't know if you guys know this, but you are actually looking at 1992 Atkins Junior High, Mr. Tornado. That's who I was. I won the student. That's right, cheer. That's good. It's like 13 years old, just killing it. It was amazing. Love, no. No, I have a few good memories of some of those times, but I'm just like you. I look back on some of those moments and I'm just like, why? Why did we think the things that we thought? I don't know if you, I mean, you can think through a few things that are kind of sweet, but you quickly learn that you grow out of it, right? You think back and you go, gosh, I don't know that I knew a whole lot back then. In fact, I don't know that I knew anything, right? Because you were there and you were convinced that your crush in 10th grade was the only one for you, right? You just had that feeling or thought, or you were just convinced, like, my bangs really do need to reach to the heavens. This is like, if I can touch God's heart with my head, hair, like somehow, some way, you know, it's possible. Or just remembering, like, I think parachute pants were just never a good idea. But they existed back then. I know they're coming, because some of y'all are looking at that and you're like, that's a vibe. That's what's so sad. This is what happens in life. It's absolutely a reality. It just cycles through. So if you come here in parachute pants, you just, God loves you. I'll judge you, but God loves you. So we're just good. We're good. We're good. We learn and grow over life. We learn and grow, and we figure out some of the things that we thought back in the day. Maybe we didn't know everything. We didn't have it all figured out. In fact, you can probably look back at like last year and go, I don't know that I had it all figured out. I've learned some things since then. Full life. Jesus said, his own words say, I came to give you full life and life to the full, life abundantly full. But part of that just means that we're going to step into new things and we're going to actually grow from one season to the next. There are going to be things that we think or believe or see that shift over time, and we begin to see things differently, we begin to believe things differently, get to grow and change and shift. And the experience of full life comes actually as we get to step into greater and more full things. That's where we're at in this text today. As we kind of open up this scripture, there's something that God wants to say to us, to his church, and that is, like, wherever you're at, there's more revelation for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you're there. Paul's writing to this Corinthian church, but it's actually the Spirit of God. He's like writing to all of us. He's sharing his heart with us, and here's what he wants to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be uninformed, meaning there was some wrong and broken understanding. Another translation on my NIV people out there says it even a little more bluntly. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant, unaware. There's some things that I want you to understand. So the Spirit of God is actually saying to us. And to be clear, listen, we know that the entirety of the scripture is breathed out by God. God grabbed men and poured himself. He took unique men with different personalities and different giftings in different seasons, different times, and inspired them and drew them to say out of the Father's desire to say exactly what God wanted to say to us. So we know that the entirety of Scripture is incredibly important. And yet, what we'll find as we go along, that there are moments and there are places and times in which God wants to highlight something and say, hey, don't miss this. There's something that you need to see and understand or be aware of. He does this actually in the next letter that Paul writes to the Corinthian church. He's dealing with it. They're wrestling through some hardships and there's some unforgiveness. And he's saying, hey, it's radically and incredibly important for you to be a person who lives with forgiveness because, it says in 2 Corinthians 7:11, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. So we can't live like with a veil over our face with respect to these things. He's saying, hey, we can't be unaware of the schemes of the enemy. And he's saying here in the same way, listen, it is crucial. It is critical, important for us to not be ignorant or uninformed about the spiritual gifts. This is an important thing to you. It's an important thing to me. It's an important thing to our lives. And what's happening in this church is what's happening, by the way, in every church that has ever been for all time, is that there were people who had a lot of questions. And they wanted to know how things are meant to be. And as God is, we're walking in a relationship with him, what does it look like to walk in faith with Jesus? They're asking these same questions. This church is mainly new believers. They're trying to figure out. They spent their whole life in Greek and Roman cultures, and they know how that world works, but they've come into this new kingdom, and God has said, man, this new kingdom operates a completely different way than the rest of the world. So you got to have your antenna up for the ways that God wants to say something or pour something into you that is different than the way the rest of the world works. So you can't be uninformed. And he's faithfully leading us into this. That's what's going on with this church, and they're just like everyone else. And what he's going to say is, listen, what this church is going like, they're actually looking at the issue and they're saying, I don't know that I'm very gifted. Actually, they're wrestling with their gifts. What they were actually ignorant about is like, I don't know what I don't do what that person does. And so Paul wants to just wave the flag and to say, hey, you need to understand exactly how this thing works. You're gifted. Everyone is actually gifted, and you need to understand the nature of that and what it means for everyone else. And we get that question, right? Because that's the question we want to ask. Am I gifted? In fact, I think when we ask that question, when somebody comes like, are you gifted? I think we have a tendency to kind of shy back and go like, not really. Like, you might be able to go like, I think I'm good at some things. But when we talk about gifted, at least in our culture, what we often think about is like uber super successful or exceptional in some way. You stand out among the masses. So when we think about, are you gifted? We go, I don't know that that's who I am. You go like, maybe, I don't know. I love Jesus, but I don't know if I'm gifted. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. If you were to go like, hey, Keith, do you think you're gifted as a preacher? I'd be like, yeah, I think maybe. Because what I'm doing, you know what I'm immediately doing? I'm going, I like to think about all the amazing preachers out there that are really gifted. You can podcast them anytime you want to. Some of the most amazing communicators. I've got to be friends with some incredible communicators, men, and they're teacher extraordinaire. So if you go like, hey, Keith, you think you're gifted? I'd be like, Because what I'm trying to kind of, I'm going like, yeah, but I know these other guys and they're amazing. And what we do is we tend to do this comparison thing. And this is what's happening in the church. And it's actually what happened in all of our lives. We compare ourselves to each other. And all of a sudden, the ability to be freely gifted by this God of the universe has gotten shoved to the back. And now you've been taken out of God's design for your life to change this world. And God's going, nope, we're not going to be uninformed. We're not going to be ignorant about this. It's actually time for us to start asking the question, how have I been gifted by God to make an impact in this world? That's what does it mean to actually be spiritually gifted and to not step back? And all of Jesus' followers are wrestling with this. They're wrestling with it then. We wrestle with it now. And I love, love, love the Spirit of God's response to this question through this apostle. You're there in your Bible. You can jump down to verse 4 because he says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, that word right there, each, means actually just means each, means individually, means all, each, everyone, meaning every follower of Jesus is gifted, but we all get gifted differently. And that's a beautiful and good thing. Doesn't matter what your past is, doesn't matter what you think is true. Every follower of Jesus is gifted by the Spirit of God. Doesn't matter how much you compare yourself to others. And just to be clear, we're not gifted in the same way. And that is a good thing. That's what he's saying. You're here breathing in and out because God's got a design for you that is not the same as him and is not the same as her. So let's lean in. So he starts unpacking it in verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. Just and for clarity here, this is one of five different expressions or lists, if you will, throughout the New Testament describing. So this isn't in any way, shape, or form the exhaustive list of gifts. It's just Paul trying to throw out a few of these things, saying, hey, we're all gifted in unique and different ways. This isn't exhaustive. There's so many things and so many ways in which God gifts his people. And then in case you're not hearing what he's trying to say, he just like grabs it and he drives it home so faithfully, because he says in verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now that's good, all right? Because even when we start talking about this, you're thinking about, well, what do I got to drum up here? What do I got to start doing? What do we have to do, Pastor? And the Lord's actually saying, hold back and ask the question, Lord, what do you want to give to me? These are gifts. Every follower of Jesus is gifted by God himself, but each one gets to be gifted differently. And that's meaningful, powerful. And so we get to look at this text, and there's actually a couple of different words that Paul actually uses to describe these gifts and what they actually mean in our lives. There's just like English words where you have synonyms, or where there's two synonyms for giftedness by the Spirit of God. The first word is pneumakatos. All right, I'm just not good at Greek, but you actually say the P in Greek, where we don't say the P, but it is pneumakatos, right? You might recognize the word in our English. Are there any NASCAR fans in here? Well, we're not very cultured here as a church. Sorry, any of you car fanatics at all, or just like, no, it's like a couple? We got a couple. Just, yeah. The dudes are like, yeah, I am. Well, no, you're not. when they're changing out the tires in NASCAR real fast, or F1. I'm sorry, I'm equal opportunity. Are you F1? Sorry, I don't want to offend. Somebody's like leaving the church. He only said NASCAR. They have those drills. You know what they're called? Pneumatic drills. Pneumatic drills. It means they're powered by air. Powered by the air. This is the picture that God is giving to what it means to be gifted by the King of the universe. It ain't coming from within you. It's coming from the King. He's giving it to you, putting it in you, coming from the air. The same root word here, pneuma. Or pneuma, that's actually how they say it. It's the Holy Spirit. That's the name of the Holy Spirit. And these gifts are coming from him. He's like breathing them over you. This is really cool. It's not like you working your way up to be awesome. No, this is a receiving from this amazing God of the universe who has things that he wants to accomplish and do in and through our lives. And so pneumakatos means a gift empowered by the Holy Spirit. And there's all different kinds. All the followers of Jesus receive and get these. But the real question is, why? Why? That's what we want to lean into. Why is God doing this? And the answer is because of the other word that God uses, or Paul uses, the Spirit uses to describe the gifts. And that is charismata. It's the other word. You recognize that word, charismatic, which when we talk about it, maybe just in more of like an American sensibility, it's charismatic or people that are like really gifted and really attractional and cool. And we think of charismatic leaders and their ability to pull people in and rally people, those kinds of things. You might even just be going like, well, that's not me. Is that what it's talking about? No. The English use of the word charismata or charismatic, it talks about all that, but biblically what it means is this. Charismata in the Bible is one of the words meaning it's Greek word for, or it's built off the Greek word for grace, charis, grace. Meaning charismata means God has put his gifts in each of the followers of Jesus in order to give grace, his grace, to the world. That's the point. It's really amazing that God is partnering with us this way. You can go back to verse 7 and look. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We're meant to have an impact. And it's not from what we drum up in ourselves. It's actually a receiving from the Spirit of God so that we can be expressions of the grace of God to the world around us. You're important. This is what God's saying. This thing matters. Who you are and how you're gifted and your personality and your traits and the ways that God's wired you and designed you and the things that he has breathed over you really, really, really matters. That's what it means actually to be saved, is to have been given new identity. We were apart from God and then brought into a family, now given a brand new identity where we went from empty and broken and going nowhere to now standing as co-heirs with Christ, empowered by the Spirit of God to, in Jesus' own words, do greater works than I will do. It's huge. It's massive. And so this is how God's showing his grace, giving his grace away to the world. And it just, we get to step back at least for a moment and actually just pause and think about the reality of what this means, because we will find it incredibly empty to ask God to work in our lives and to ask him for his grace and yet not be intimately connected to and with each other. Meaning, what does it matter if you are receiving the gifts that he's breathing out on you, but you aren't dialed in and connected with the people for the common good? And you aren't with your heart and ears open as you're out in the world asking God, how do you want to touch people's lives? It's really important. What we're doing here is really important. We're building something, and you have some things that this church needs. And this church has something that this city needs. And God's pouring out his grace in us and through us. Because there's so many people that are crying out. Even here, just we're going, God, would you give me guidance? Or God, would you work in my marriage? Or God, would you help my children? Or God, would you give me power to overcome temptation? Or God, would you help me through the season of loneliness? Or whatever it is, we're asking these things. We're asking God to do and move in these ways in our lives. And here's the issue. The primary way that God is giving his power and grace is by means of these gifts that he's given to each of the followers of Jesus for the building up of his church. Like, and meaning some of the things you're asking for God to do in you and the ways you're asking him to move is actually going to happen in the gathering of the believers bringing our gifts to each other. We're asking God to work in our lives, but if we're not connected to each other, then we actually miss out. Meaning this, I need your gifts. We need our gifts from each other. You have gifts to give away. So this gathering is more than a church service on a Sunday. We're building a family that is actually coming to like be able to pour out grace to each other. And so when we're not intimately connected, we're not connected as a church, as a people, then we end up missing out on, I think, some of the things that God wants to give away. And I'd just be gut level honest. I think some of the best stuff that's happening in our church is when these gatherings, the small groups are coming together. And if you haven't, by the way, if you haven't come up and just gotten prayed for at the end, we pray for each other at the end of service. If you haven't done that before, you need to come up and just get prayed for and covered. You're like, well, what if they think that I'm, what if I come up to the front and they think I'm messed up? Well, we already know you're messed up. Everybody knows that. You're a mess. So come get prayed for anyway. But I'm just telling you, This has to be more than, in the heart of Jesus, it has to be more than we showed up to a service and we got preached really good too, you know, but there's more the Spirit of God wants to give away than the few people that stand. This is the danger in the American church is that the gifted ones are the ones that stand on the platform. Man. No. The gifted ones are the people of God who got their hands turned up saying, do in me. God is actually, and again, the record from Scripture is God's just grabbing people who are not qualified, but have their hands open to say, okay, God, you said, I'll follow you and fish for men. Okay. How amazing is that? This is how critical, how important this is as we gather. And so there's going to be multiple areas in which you are meant to make an impact here, but not just on Sundays, everywhere, wherever we go. That's incredible. I think it's important for us to begin to, and that's what we're going to take a few weeks, because I'm so grateful for the unique ways, the profound ways that God is gifting our people. And what's amazing is God saying it's breathed out by the Spirit of God. And if you go down, we won't have time this morning, but you can go down a little further, and Paul actually gives another list of other gifts in the verses just proceeding after that. And he's talking about all these kind of different gifts. And one of the gifts he names out is administration, gifts of administration. These are supernatural gifts. I'm going to tell you something right now. The gift to those who are not administratively gifted, the gift of the spirit of administration, it is supernatural. Just a couple weekends ago, we had a huge party weekend here over Palm Sunday weekend, had a massive party. Carrie Sangster, come on. Let me tell you something. We were sitting down to talk about putting this thing together. And as we're just talking about all the things and all of what it's going to take, my heart's like, I can't breathe. I can't do that. I can't think. I can't do this. Carrie's like, oh, we'll do it. She's writing stuff down. She got it all. And we had the most incredible, amazing, fun, awesome time. That is a supernatural, God-breathed gift. Now, could I put a party on for our church? Yes. Would it be good? Not on your life. I would forget everything. People, you wouldn't have plates. You'd be like just scooping salad up into your face. I mean, this is a reality. Let me tell you something right now. Because again, what we tend to do is go, oh, these are the gifted people, the angelic voices. But I'm not gifted. And Paul is saying, the Spirit of God is saying, no way. You don't have any idea what you're bringing to the table. So we're so grateful for all of these supernatural gifts that God is giving to his church. I would just be the first to confess, I have felt enticed many, many times by the enemy to look at my giftings and look at the giftings of others and to go, I don't have it. I just don't have it. I wish I was like that. I wish I was like him. I wish I was like her. And to degrade what God has breathed out on me. So that's a confession. And if you're there too, you're being invited by God to repent also and say, no, God, you have gifted me and I will trust you and say yes to you. That's robbery. That is robbery from the enemy to believe that. And so part of our journey into full life is to just reject the lie of comparison and just say, God, use and empower me to be an expression of your grace around the world, period. Reject the lie and receive the truth. Let me say it again. Reject the lie and receive the truth. We are the gifted ones, the breathed out ones of God. And you matter to this church, and this church matters to this city. And we'll trust God with how big and wide it's supposed to be, but we will be a people who say, yes, God, fill me up, gift me, grace me, so that I can be an expression of your grace around the world. And the more we do that, guess what? The more and more grace of God gets spread. I'm so grateful for all the ways that that happens. And of course, you may be gifted in ways that are similar to other people in here. You may be gifted in completely different ways, but it's all an expression of the grace of God. And so that's what we're going to do is, okay, well, what does it look like? So for the next few weeks, we're going to just take some time and go, okay, how am I gifted? What are the things that you want to do? I might have some ideas about the ways that I've been gifted, but you know what? Might not. There's maybe more things. This is what I love. Because you don't get to put God in a box. I don't know if you may have grown up like where you get a spiritual gift. I what's your spiritual gift? And it's like, well, you might have one that's primary, but the Bible, the Word of God just says that the Spirit of God gives to whom he will as he wills, which to me says, like, if God wants to get the hands up, look, come on, Lord, blow me up. Like, come on, set me on fire. Give me some gifts, right? And just asking for it and saying, what could you do in me? So that's what we want to just begin to ask. God, how do you want to use me regularly? How do you want to use me regularly to show grace to the world? And that's what we're going to ask, and we're going to take some time to explore over the next few weeks together. And so we're going to take an opportunity just to get our hearts ready for that question, but I thought one the most powerful way we could do that is just to remember the ultimate gift that was already given. The Son of God came and gave his life. So you and I aren't coming to give out of some overflow of ourselves. We're actually coming to give something that's been poured in and done for us. So we're going to have a moment just to ready our hearts. And here in a minute, we're going to take communion. We're going to take the Lord's Supper, and we're going to remember what he has done for us. Because we're not going out of this building in our own strength. What we're going out in is as I am a blood-bought son and daughter of the living God. And he gifts me because he is kind and good and amazing and gracious and merciful and powerful, and not because I've deserved. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Let's get our hearts ready. Father, we just make our hearts ready to receive from you first. First, Jesus, who you are. We're just telling you right now, before we get any of your amazing and precious gifts, what we want more than anything is you. You're the gift. You're the supreme gift. You are the treasure to be had. And Jesus, we see you is the one who came and gave. In your own words, you say, I came not to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. So we get to receive that. Right now, would you receive a body that was broken, ripped, pierced for you? And it's from his wounds that we're made whole, healed. Jesus, we see your body broken for me, for us. And we see the flow from your wounds, your blood shed, from your hands, from your feet, from your side. You gave. And that flow has washed me and washed me and washed me. Would you receive it again? The washing of the blood of the God of the universe, making you whole. Giving you a new covenant, a new family, a new identity, fresh hope, the ability to breathe, the ability to look at the days ahead with a heart that is alive. That all comes from your shed blood. Receive. We lay before you all of our shortcomings. Would you just do that? Would you just tell the Lord and with honesty your failures and the ways you've fallen short and that thing you've been wrestling with what maybe feels like your whole life? Confess it. Just give it to him again. Lay it at his feet. You carried the burden. Here's my sin. Here's my shame and my guilt. They are yours, Jesus. Hand them. Give them over right now. Be made whole again. Made pure, righteous. The fresh mercies of God. They're new every morning. And a It's because you did these things. It's because you take our sin and because you give us life that we can live. Live gifted, live alive, full life. Eager to touch this world around us. To touch the lives of people in this church. Oh God. Have your way. And make our hearts ready now to receive. Would you guys stand with me as we get ready to connect with the heart of God through communion? In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come. You can just come down the middle aisle here to receive the elements. And as soon as you receive the elements, you are free to take them. If you'd like to take them back to your seat, you can take them there. Or if you receive them here, you can take them right then and there, whenever you're ready to receive these elements. If you're not ready to receive elements this morning, you don't have to. No one's pressuring you to do that. But we do want to invite you to come and have all that God has to give to you, His fresh life for us. So God, we make ourselves ready to receive, to be made whole so that we can step out in the fullness of your gifts over our lives. Our worship team is just going to worship over us. Let's just receive this moment. God, we love you. You're the faithful one of the universe. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.